The following is a teaching by Ivan Apana, founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban South.
I thank you today that we can give you honor, glory, and praise. We thank you that you're a God that never fails, Lord. We thank you that you are always there. Father, no matter what we go through, what trials we go through, what temptations we go through, Lord, what hurts we go through, Father, what pain we go through, you are in the midst, Lord. We think of Paul and Silas, Lord, that were in the prison cell. Father God, they were beaten, they were flogged. Father, they were hurt, they were marginalized, they were bruised, they were hurting. They were going through all types of things. But in the midst of their pain, Lord, they chose to worship you, Lord. They worshiped you not only in song, but Lord God, they worshiped you, Father God, in acknowledging the word of God. And today I pray as the word of God will come, Father, it will just some heart today. It will align some soul today, Father. I pray, Father God, our inner man will be able to be good recipients of the word. Lord, I pray that you will examine our soils today, Lord. Is our soil a hardy soil today? Have we got hardened hearts this morning, Lord? Or will we have a soil that is a good soil, where the word will go in, saturate us, change us, allow us to become productive, allow that seed to go into the ground, and allow it to start bearing fruit, Lord. Because your word says our lives must show fruits of repentance, Lord. And today, Lord, I come as a co-leader in this church, Lord, and I pray, Father God, for our entire congregation this morning, Lord, that the word will not return unto your void, but it will accomplish that which it was said to do, Lord. And this morning you have a word, Lord. You have a word for some person that's hurting. You have a word for some person that's going through financial turmoil. You have a word for some person that does not know how to work it out, Lord. But today I pray that your word will begin to help us. We need you more than anything else, Holy Spirit. So we invite you into each heart today. We invite you to be in our environment today. We invite you, Lord, to be in the speaker today, Lord. That, Father, the words that he speaks, Lord, will not be his own, but it will be what you want to come from the throne room of God. So we give you our all today, Lord. It is your time in this moment that the word is discharged. We bless that word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless the Lord. After the prayer, I think you should have been preaching. But we thank the Lord for today. Let's just get into the Word of God and prepare and adjust our spirits. As you've come with your grain bag this morning, it is my responsibility to bring a word from the heart of God and deposit it into your grain bag. So when you get home, you know how to work with it so that you are enriched. There is a cry and a desire in each one of us to connect to God this morning. I know deep within you, wherever you are in your journey, there is a cry inside of you to touch the heart of the Father. There is a cry inside of you to say, listen, I'm not satisfied where I am presently. I know as I stand here, there is something in you. You want a better life. You want a better family life. You want a better marriage. You want a better relationship with God. You want to be lifted and high. You want to be a better witness for God. I know that. And right now, some of you are battling with different issues. But I pray today as the word of God would come, no matter how it is relayed to you, that you would take something from this message this morning that will build you up, that will adjust the house. I believe today that there must be a shift of responsibility, not only for your personal life, but also your responsibility for the house. It's very important. In every home, everyone takes some form of responsibility of that home. Whether it's dad, mom, a working son or a working daughter, everyone takes some form of responsibility. Even if you're unemployed, you would try to do something that will alleviate the burden, collective burden of that home. In the house of God, each one of us are saved to serve. Each one of us have a responsibility. You are not an item. You're not a statistic. You are purposeful in God, and God is purposeful in why he brought you here this morning to hear the word of God, to worship him, and to strengthen your credible witness for the world. As we go out there, we understand that we have a responsibility, and we don't execute that responsibility alone. The Holy Spirit stands with us as we stand, as we have a desire to reflect Him. The word glory has nothing to do with falling down or silver dust coming into this building. The word glory has to do with how you position the character of God in you, how you reflect the character of God Monday to Saturday, how you put God on display through your life. That is the glory of God. The very essence, the character, and the nature of God in you put on display. That is what glory is. But that's why we need the anointing of God to strengthen us, to adjust us, so that the glory becomes brighter. Amen. The word glory is the word doxa, the brightness of God in an individual. Amen. So this is how we must understand the glory of God. Now, I today want to speak about the word order. We spoke about divine design. We will speak about glory more in a few weeks' time. But I want to cover the word order. In the house of God, there always must be the order that God has prescribed for this house. In other words, in an apostolic culture, there is order. The order of God in an apostolic culture consists of four pillars, and all of us are aware of the four pillars. But just to bring to remembrance and review, this morning the four pillars of an apostolic culture is number one, doctrine. Number two, fellowship. Number three, it's the breaking of bread or the table of the Lord. And number four, it's prayer. The three has to be in place in order before we start to pray. You can't pray without knowing the Word of God. Just in case you do know that, if you feel, as some people so often say, we don't need the Word of God, we only need the Holy Spirit to move. But the Holy Spirit doesn't move outside the Word. That's why Jesus said to the woman at the well, I think, in John chapter 4, those that worship me must worship me through the Word and the Spirit. Two dimensions that work together. The Spirit can't work without the Word. And just in case you don't know this, but if you just say, I just rely on the Spirit and not the Word, there's a strong possibility that you could enter a realm of the flesh. And what you do can become carnal, because the Word and the Spirit go together. Just in case you say, I don't need the Spirit and I only need the Word, you can easily swing into a legalistic mindset. So to have both, that's why both are needed. If you go to John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, He said that you must be baptized into the water and the Spirit, which means the Word and the Spirit. Amen? So it is important that we understand the order of God within the confines of an apostolic culture. First, the Word. Doctrine establishes us. And sometimes doctrine can be so boring. But doctrine is the foundation of an apostolic culture. We are an apostolic house. The word apostolic means we sent. It means sent. Apostolos is the word for, in English, apostolic. It comes from the root word apostolos. God was apostolic. Hello? He sent His Word. Is that true? So it makes Him a sender. And because He's a sender, He's an apostolic person. Hello? And then God sent not only His Word, the Word that He sent became flesh. So He sent His Son. Amen? So the Son, God is a sending agency by sending His Son. Hello, are you with me? So the thing is, the one that sends becomes an authentic source or a sender. So the apostolic culture or an apostolic word is an authentic word that comes from its original source. That's basically. So this morning, allow us to just align ourselves to what the Word of God will say to us today. In whatever way, this morning, let it come to adjust us to uplift us, to encourage us, and of course, to build us up, to edify us. And the order of God in this culture is so important. So I want to speak on the order, two orders in the house of God within an apostolic culture. One order must die for God to set the authentic order. So what is prevailing may not necessarily have been the authentic order. Okay, so I want to go to Isaiah chapter 22, and I want to speak this morning on the Shebna order of leadership and the Eliakim order of leadership. You may have not heard about these two characters, but this morning, let's highlight from the Bible these two orders and how one has to die and what is the essence and the importance of an importation order, an order that we're going to import and place and have it established in this house. Maybe the guards are changing. Maybe it's time for an upgrade of leadership, an upgrade of what God wants to say and do, a change of guards. Whatever God wants to do, we are open. We are open. Right now, we understand that the premier of KZN, Sikilala, Mr. Sikilala, was once a premier, and now he becomes a MEC. To some, it's a demotion, but... And he said the following, whatever, I am faithful to the ANC, whatever they want to do with me and wherever they want to place me, I am ready to be faithful and bow down to the demands of the party. The party is bigger than me. So just like that, as a servant of God, sometimes through these messages, God impresses upon us to do any personal investigation, inspection, and of course, to rid ourselves of certain things and introduce the things that he wants so that this work becomes totally authentic in Jesus' name. This is not an institution that is just run by an application of a certain rules. This is a highly dynamic body, which means it is moving all the time. And because it's dynamic, it's organic, there is always going to be some things that will hit this down, bring us and put us under siege, pick us up. And that's why we always have to be attentive to what God wants to say and do. We can't say, but why is this happening? No, it's happening because we are a living organism. You can't ask why Jesus was crucified. He was living and there was a reason why they rose up against him, because he carried life. And we all have the same arch enemy this morning, Satan himself, who wants to destroy an apostolic culture, reintroducing maybe a system that is antiquated and outdated and redundant to bring that system back. Right now in Israel, we understand there is such excitement among those religious people to reintroduce the worship of animals in the temple, something that took place thousands of years ago before Jesus died on the cross and became the ultimate. Why? Because they're blinded to the reality that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. The eyes need to be open, and for this reason we understand that they are going back and spending millions of dollars to reintroduce worship, temple worship. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 that this temple that will go down will rise up in 3 days. He was talking about his body. And now he's the final temple. He's our Sabbath. We don't have Sabbath as a day. A person becomes a Sabbath in the new covenant. Amen. So please understand today that there is a tech that comes through all the time to the house. All the time to a house because it's living. And we've just seen, and maybe your home church leaders may have played the clip to you on what happened at the Commonwealth Games recently in Birmingham in the UK. They reintroduced Baal. And you all saw the bull, 10 meters high bull. Electronica, whatever, millions of pounds spent in the construction of the Baal the bull. And we spoke about Baal the bull in Elijah's time. All the prophets and all the people of Israel were worshiping Baal. Now this has come back in the 21st century. In the 21st century, you know, we are sometimes so oblivious to some of the things that may have come to us prophetically. In the year 2010, we saw the movie Matrix. And we said, this is all far-fetched. And what was in the movie is now played out. 12 years later, what was in the movie is played out. Because to the elite, this is a game. Your life is just part of the game. Destruction and blood flowing down the streets is part of a game. All engineered by our arch enemy, Satan himself. So that's why order is very important. We introduce order in our personal lives. We introduce order into our homes. We introduce order even in the house of God. God has order. So I want to speak this morning and go to Isaiah chapter 22. And we're going to look at this passage of scripture. Very, very difficult passage of scripture. But very prophetic. And we all are going to try to find some of the key points of an inaccurate order within a house and the introduction of an accurate order that will help us to understand the heart of God in the 21st century as He shakes the church. The church is being shaken. The Bible says the old earth is like a drunkard. Wobbling under the attack and the influence of the evil one. But God Himself also says that He will shake the church, the heavens, the earth, one more time. And this is the time. This is the day in which God is shaking. And those that are established won't fall aside. But those that are weakened and have a dualistic devotion, one to the world and one to the Lord, you're going to be spewed out. You will collapse. So it is important today you take these messages to fortify your life in Jesus' name. It is so important that we don't be ignorant. In the Bible it says, please don't be ignorant. Woe unto the man that is ignorant. God goes on to use the word, consider your ways. In other words, take stock. I have placed a level of intelligence in you, God says. Please take stock. Now we all are bombarded daily with all types of issues and domestic issues and you know, issues at our workplace. And we are fighting things in our lives. We are pushing things out of our lives. But whatever it is this morning, God is able to take you through. That's why I take advantage of the prayer sessions so that you could come and say, pray for me, I need help, and we are here to pray for you. So that we all end up strong in our journey. Amen? I don't want any one of you to go to your grave weakened by all your issues, heavy laden by all your issues. You must finish strong. You must empty yourself before you go. Amen? And everything that God has placed into you, some type of purpose, you must be able to utilize that for the edification of the body of Christ and, of course, creating an influence, an impact in the world. This is a very powerful passage of scripture, but let's just go into this passage. Before we go there, may I allow you to gather these names that I'm going to be speaking this morning about. We're going to be mentioning King Hezekiah. We're going to be mentioning Isaiah the prophet. We're going to be mentioning Shebna, Eliakim, and of course, Almighty God. These are the main characters in this passage of scripture. One, King Hezekiah, a powerful king, a good king. Two, the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah came into ministry in the year 740 BC, the year that King Uzziah died. And we're going to talk about King Uzziah. Maybe, I don't know whether we'll have time today, But I want to speak about the seduction of success in concerning King Uzziah. Okay? But before we get there, Isaiah was a very, very powerful prophet. He was used by God together with other prophets during the reign of a few kings of Judah. And we understand today there were various kings in Judah, and God used him. And during the time of King Ezekiah, there was a very powerful nation called the Assyrian nation. The Assyrian nation, if you read about Sennacherib, one of the leaders of or kings of Assyria, he was hungry to take over the whole world, and he became a dominant force in the earth, Sennacherib. And you read that in the book of Isaiah and other chapters in Kings and Chronicles. You read about this king, and his aim was to destroy it. Already captured Israel, and you know Israel was a northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom is Judah. Israel is made up of 10 tribes. Judah is made up of 2 tribes. The 2 tribes under the Judah. The kings of Judah were very were concentrated around Jerusalem. And you know, David came from the tribe of Judah. Even Jesus came from the tribe of Judah many years later. So the prophet Isaiah started his ministry, and as I said, Ezekiah and all of Judah faced a crisis. The crisis was, how do we stop ourselves being taken over by the Syrians, a dominant world power? And so we see that they cried to God. Isaiah comes to Ezekiah, and Isaiah talks to Ezekiah and says to him, "The Lord, don't worry, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you." And when he said that, God, he hearkened to the voice of the prophet, came to the help of Ezekiah, the king, stopped them being taken over by Assyrians. And of course, one night, God sent one angel, and 185,000 Assyrians' bodies were lying on the ground. In one night. Don't mess around with this God. He's able in one go to destroy those things that are affecting your joy. And he's able to do that. You see, the children of Israel, they were crying for many years to God, but they were crying as slaves in Egypt. But one day, when the frequency or the sound of their voice became strengthened and louder, God remembered them one day and came to their aid and rescued them from the Egyptian stronghold. So I want you to know that God is alive. In one blow, sending one angel to face 185,000 Assyrians and destroy them, God can do it for you. So the same God that the prophet Isaiah is speaking about hasn't changed. He's still here today. He's my Father. He's your Father. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our stronghold. He's our fortress. He's our provider. He's everything to us. You must believe that today. Say, "I believe." You see, what's the problem with you, humankind? We want to see first and then believe. That's why many of us operate by sight and not faith. Faith is believing first and then seeing the result. Now, the world will never tell you that. The world will tell you, you must see the stuff first before you believe. That is the ethos and the philosophy of the world. Our philosophy is totally contradictory to the world. And we must believe that it's going to take us a long way through. Then we come and we see there is Shebna. Now, Shebna was a royal steward in the palace of Ezekiah. Are you with me? He was like the second in charge to the emperor, to the king. And everything, he controlled the workforce, he controlled everything, he controlled the affairs of the kingdom. There came a time where he was exposed by God, and the prophet of God came and spoke into the situation because he was under Ezekiah, but he was also there to destroy the work or destroy the affairs of Ezekiah. In other words, he was with Ezekiah, but he was having a private meeting with the Assyrians. So he was filling in the Assyrians while he was in the care of Hezekiah. You know, this is totally demonic. So he was evil, he was wicked, he had a hidden agenda, he was more concerned about himself, and he was exposed by God. You go to the book of Esther and you see how Haman was also exposed. He thought he was the ultimate. He thought that everything rose on his strength. He thought that his words were bigger than God's words. Until God cut him down. The gallows that was he set for Mordecai became the gallows that he hung. Hey, remember something. Don't put this past God. That God sees your tears. God sees what you're going through. God is not dead. He's alive. This God is interested in us today. We may be at a place where we're under siege, under attack, underestimated as a body of Christ. But I tell you, God sees us. No one can beat God. No one can hoodwink God. No one can start to force a rope around God and say, I tie you up, God. God will break those chains because He is God. He has all power. He knows all things and He can do all things. Amen. Those things that are troubling you for a long time and you felt, where is God? Where is my breakthrough? I tell you something, pursue God. Increase the frequency of your cry. Call upon the name of the Lord and in the day of your trouble and He will answer you. And I pray today that every one of you will step out of this place. You know, human nature is so much so that we all start with the negative mindset first. So we pollute ourselves and or fill ourselves or preoccupy ourselves with 80% of our time thinking about the problem, even worshiping the problem. Sometimes our problems may have become the biggest idols in our home. Bigger than Baal, bigger than all the other idols that we see with our eyes. Inside of us could be the idol of our problem that we worship more than God. We believe more that our problem is bigger than sometimes in our lives. And we are unable to come out of it. But there is a God that's waiting with His hand outreached like this. I tell you something this morning, church. If someone is doing this to you this morning, there is a God. There is a God this morning. Someone is pointing a finger at you, hurting you, accusing you, bringing you down. You have two options this morning. You can say, you can raise up your hand like this and say, problem come. Problem come. Problem come. You invite problems to affect you. You invite situations to find a nest inside of you. Somebody said the following, and I'm absolved from that. You can't stop a bird from flying around your head, but you can stop it from building a nest on your head. Things will always come to you, but you can stop it right in front of you. Hallelujah. Because your mind is on God and not the problem. So, you've got to start filling your mind with the fact. There is a God on my side that holds me, my hand, and He's bigger than my issues. He's bigger than those attacks. So you've got an option this morning. When attacks come to you, hallelujah, you've got this option just to do this. Do this. Go. 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 Don't enter. But if you say this, it'll come. There could be 100 problems just going around your head, waiting when you have an invitation. It'll come in. It'll come in. So you got a problem right now. Just let it go. Let nothing. You are a custodian of this private world around you. And you've got the option to reserve it just for God and you. Anything that brings you down, destroys you, you got an option of letting it go this morning. Don't you want to be happy? Don't you want to be lighthearted? Don't you want to be so good, just let it go. So, that's so much of Shebna. He affected the rulership of the land. He was going to hand over the ruling of the land to the enemy. So God comes in, and through the prophet Isaiah, he demotes him, gets him out of the way, saves a whole nation, and raises up a new man called Eliakim. Eliakim was just a scribe. From a scribe, he is promoted to second in charge of the king's palace and the whole nation. Hello, are you with me? And so Eliakim means whom God will raise, or the resurrection of God. Whom God will raise, or the resurrection of God. There is something that God wants to do in your life. Those things that are hurting you, that those Shebna thoughts, those Shebna intentions are going to come to an end. God will shake your life, expose and get rid of these things. But there is something that God wants to resurrect in your life, in your leadership, in your ministry, in the call that God has for your life. Every one of you are called in the speciality of God. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And that's how God works. And He calls you today, because what He's placed in each one of us is greater than how we assess it. Our human nature tells us, our Adamic nature tells us, that you must be perfect before we use you. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, grace covers us and presents us as the called to continue to work for God. And many of you are stagnant. Many of you believe, when I'm 60 years old, I'll serve God. When I'm, you know, just about, you know, if I get one sickness that's life-threatening, then I'll hand over to God. So many of us today, maybe in this room, maybe not in this room, we made a pledge with God. We said to God, give me this job and I'll serve you. Bless me with a house, I will give my life. I was unable to have children, but give me a child and then I'll serve you. I was longing for this. You know, we have so many different things that we make with the Lord and we forget. And today God is reminding us again that there is a God that's bigger than your issues. There's a God that's interested in you and I, and He wants us to go forward. And then we come to the person, King Hezekiah. He was one of the kings who reigned in Judah. He was one of the godliest kings in all the kings of Judah. Though his father was wicked, his father was Ahaz, A-H-A-Z, was very wicked. He refused to follow the blueprint of his father, the line of his father. The Bible says he made a decision not to follow the evil ways of Ahaz, his father. He chose to follow David and the model of David for his life. And so much so, he became so powerful as a king. Hallelujah. So he did that which was right in the eyes of God, according to all that David had done. You can read that in 2 Kings 18:3. He removed the high place, broke down the sacred pillars. He cut down wooden image of Asherah, the Canaanite goddess, which previous kings refused to do. And who are the previous kings before him? King of Abijah, King Asa, King Jehoram, King Ahaziah, King Amaziah, King Uzziah. All of these Judah kings would refuse to bring down these different images. But here King Hezekiah comes and he sees, I will not follow my father's example, King Ahaz. I'll find a model, and he follows King David. This is how powerful the line is in your life. Then he broke into pieces. He broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made in Numbers 21. I tell you something. In the previous season, some things were acceptable. But in the present season, those things become obsolete. They become redundant and must be removed. Otherwise, they become an idol in the new season. Sometimes what we did in the charismatic, we try to bring it into this season. And God says, the season is changed. My methods change. I'm still the same God, but I'm upgraded myself. We are reminded of an example in the Bible of Moses. The reason why Moses lost his entry into Canaan, the promised land. You know why? Because he was so used of things of a previous season that when God upgraded the season, Moses lost his bearing. He didn't know how to adjust to the new season. And something about us as church, beloved, when we are not sure about something, we become suspicious of it. And when we become suspicious of it, we criticize it. And when we criticize it, we start to gossip about it because we're unhappy with something. You know about some things in your life when you were unhappy with. You had a company of people coming around you to feel sorry for you, and you entered erroneous discussions. And you affected people. And up till today, some of those people could be still damaged by what you discussed. So be careful how you approach certain sensitive issues in God's economy and the business of God. So Moses lost his entry into, what a shame. He went through so much, isn't it, with the children of Israel. And he would have been citizen number one to enter, put his step into Canaan. But God's before that, God tested his heart. And he said, now I'm upgrading my way of doing church. Previous season, you must hit the rock. It means that there is manifestations. Hit the rock. Now I don't want you to use that technology anymore. I want you just to speak to the rock. You don't have to scream, but just speak to the rock. And now that's an upgrade technology. Speak the word. No more manifestations. Just speak the word. And so he was so upset, you know, because the people that were around him, sometimes you could be the right leader with the wrong people. And what happens? They frustrate you, and so frustrate you so much that you get so upset and you lash out at whatever you're doing. And that's exactly what Moses did. These people were frustrating him every day. And so he lashed out and he gave them the right result, but he struck the rock again. And God says, that's the end of you. That's the end of you. Raise up Joshua to take over. And that's again we see with a change of season, there's going to be a change of leadership. And we pray to God as he comes into this house and he scans this house, we pray that he will raise up in the next level of this house. He will be able to raise up a couple that will take this church to another level. And we know that all fivefold are given by Christ, according to Ephesians 4. We pray as things change, and God can change. The guards is changing. In many places, the guards are changing. This is a season where God is raising up people to go to another level. I may have brought this church 23 years into where God wants it, but God may have another plan to raise up someone else to take it to somewhere else. Am I open to that? Yes. Am I ready to give up? Yes. Am I ready to serve? Yes. Wherever God brings in, I will then serve them. Because it is not about me or anyone else. It's about God himself. Amen. So as we read on, we understand that Ezekiah was the one who hated idolatry. And you know that in Numbers 21, there was this brass snake that was put up. And everyone looked at it. They were healed in the wilderness. If they were sick, they didn't go to a doctor. They just looked at this brass snake in there. That's why up to today I was in Hierapolis, at the Hierapolis in Greece. And you won't believe, the whole image of the snake is still there in the medical field. The whole medical field started with a snake on a stick. If you see that sign. Up till today, I think that sign is somewhere. Okay. All started in Numbers 21. And that was called Nehustan. 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 Nehustan means a piece of brass or a brass thing. And we see that he was brave enough as a king to destroy that because it was no more relevant. It was no more relevant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm just trying to bring this away. And you know that Hezekiah, wherever he went, the Bible says that he was rich, he prospered. And of course, you know, King Hezekiah got very sick. And in 2 Kings 20 verse 1, he was supposed to die. He prayed to God and God gave him 15 more years. 15 more years. But I'm not going to the danger, the bad part of that 15 years. He should have gone. But what happened in that 15 years, he made a pledge with the Babylonians. And he caused his son Manasseh to become so evil, more evil than his grandfather, Hezekiah's father. And sometimes be careful what we send down the line to our children, to our grandchildren. That's another topic to talk about. But we thank God today that Hezekiah, for the time that he ruled, 29 years, he was a righteous person. And then in this passage, we see also a righteous God who sees and knows all things. God sees all things. Say after me, God sees all things. God knows all things. Amen. So we see the story about these characters in Isaiah 22. So let's go quickly. I must try to go through this. The first verse of Isaiah 22. I'm not going to complete this, but you could just look at it. Can I give you the main points? So you can go and study this, okay? Here in Isaiah 22, verse 1 to 25, we read the whole story, and I'm glad I've given you a briefing on all of these characters in this. Shebna, Isaiah comes to him and says, the burden is against the valley of vision. The valley of, I want you to underline that, valley of vision. We understand that the vision is very limited in resources. Number two, your vision in a valley is not clear. There's no clarity. Your sight is limited when you stand in a valley. And we also already covered ourselves that we have to get out of the valley. We have to get out of the valley. And we understand also Ezekiel in his vision in Exodus, in Ezekiel chapter 37, in the valley, he gets a vision of just bones lying out. Because there is no life in a valley. There is no energy in the valley. There is no direction in the valley. Your screams come back and bounce back at you. And no one wants to remain in a valley. Sometimes God keeps you in a valley so that he could deal with you in a valley. But that's not your habitation. That's not your place to be. God wants you to be on a mountaintop. God wants you to have complete sight. God wants you to see new things from a mountaintop. And we've covered so extensively on living on a mountain and why God will summon you to a mountaintop. Zion, a people that lives on a mountaintop, lives under the guidance of God. And God meets the people, develops them, prepares them to live off Him on the mountain. And here we see the valley of vision. Valley, vision. Two words that are so important to expound on. How's your vision in a valley? And you may be in a valley, the valley of the shadow of death to some, where you can't find yourself out. You need to find yourself out by holding on to the life rope, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can come and take you out of the valley. Shebna had kept the people in the valley of vision as a leader. Now I pray together today that we are not in that place. That every one of you is happy. Every one of you have a devotional life. Every one of you is connected to God. Every one of you hear the voice of God. Every one of you pray to God. That is a mountaintop place. But in a valley, you don't feel like praying. In a valley, you don't feel like fasting. In the valley, you feel sorry for yourself. In a valley, there's instant gratification. I want everything now. In the valley, you do not develop your sonship. So the valley has so many disadvantages, and God comes now to suss out this person called Shebna, who was responsible in keeping the people in the valley. You see, when a leader keeps people in a valley, he can manipulate them, he can abuse them, he can use them, he can squeeze them and use them again and abuse them and use them and abuse them. We pray today that in an apostolic culture, we'll be found out if we do such things, because that's not how the church of Jesus Christ should come. We should be valiant, militant, illustrious, overcoming as a body of Christ, bold in our approach in all the affairs of our lives, not becoming people that are squeezed and always complaining. Come on, God wants us to rise up to the occasion. Do we have strong people in this house? Have we got overcomers in this house? Have we got people in this house that know how to face their challenges when they come through? These are the type of people. And to enable that, God is changing His type, His methodology in this season. Amen. So let me just, verse number 2 talks about full of noise. You are full of noise. In other words, you're tumultuous, you're full of noise, but you're under a delusion. You're under a delusion because you make this noise and you think that this noise is pleasing God, that this noise is pleasant, that this noise is your worship. And God is saying, no, that's not what I want from you. Because you are positioned in the valley, and it comes from the valley. It cannot be a true sign of worship. So what is our aim through discipleship, through impressing upon you, by telling you, by guiding you, by showing you? Why? We want to pull you out of a place where you're always moaning, groaning, complaining, and can't break through. So God wants us to rise up from that place. So let me just give you this point. You can take these points down and we can then go off to pray. Point number 1. This was the church in the valley. Think about it. Under the leadership of Shebna, the church went into the valley instead of the mountaintop. The valley is a symbol of troubles, failures, vulnerability. Under Shebna leadership, there is no victory, no glory, but only hardship and demonic manifestation. We want to address that in the south. No one must be demon-possessed. Hello? No one must be troubled by demons in the south. Amen? No one must have hardships. That when hardship comes, it must just be used to push us to the next level. Amen? No one must be vulnerable to unnecessary attacks. We all must be properly arranged for our victory in Jesus' name. Secondly, there's a delusion of victory when you read about this. And we don't want delusional victories. We want genuine victories in the house. Why? Because the Bible says here, what ails you now that you have all gone up to the housetops? We don't want people to go to housetops. We want them to go to mountaintops. You see, when the tsunami came in the east many years ago, you've seen people all got up onto the housetops. And when they got up onto the housetops, from the house they went to the housetops, they still got destroyed because the houses were washed away. But those that were in the mountaintops, a few meters away, they were saved. So sometimes you think that it's good enough just to get on a house stop from the valley and make a transitioning move to the house stop, but God does not want you to be there. God wants you to be on the mountaintop in your worship, in your witness, and in the Word of God. And you go on to see that this type of leadership provokes mourning in the hearts of the godly. In the valley, there's imprisonment. And I don't have the time to go through all of these points. There's so many of them. But I will send them to the home church leaders. And on Wednesday, you could discuss some of these. Is that okay? But let's just go to Eliakim. God then destroys the order of Shebna. And he sets up the order of Eliakim. So let's go to verse 20. Then in that, it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Right? Is that right? So number one, that day is now that God is setting up an Eliakim resurrection ministry, or resurrecting his order in the house of God. Number two, the order of God that he's placing are those that are called. Number three, he's providing, he's making provisions in his cast. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. Verse 21. In other words, in this leadership or in this order, there is provisions that God will bring in to the house of God. So God will strengthen the house. People will all come to a new level of being provided for. Happiness will come in. Satisfaction will come in. We're praying that in the name of the Lord. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. Note that Shebna was in charge of the whole house. God took him out and God raised Eliakim to be in charge of his house. There's a new order coming. Verse number 24. He shall be a father. Note that point. So what God is bringing again, a father spirit into the house. Verse number 22 is very important of Isaiah. God says, the key of the house of David I will lay on Eliakim's shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And what he shall shut, no one shall open. This is a key that is coming into an accurate house where there's a father's spirit. Provision is going to come into this house in a new way. I prophesy that. I call this word into this. Greater provision upon your lives. Greater advancement and promotion in the lives of God's people. As you align yourself to God, may God pour out his blessings upon each one of you. So many of you have experienced the blessings of God, the advanced, you've been advanced in life, you've been advanced in the secular world, and God is going to show greater things in your life in the days to come. As long as there is a spirit of Father in the house, God is going to show up and show up in that order in Jesus' name. And if you read the book of, I think, Revelation chapter 3 verse 7. Revelation concerning the church at Philadelphia. Take this as a prophetic word. That some of you are going to be having the key that God will place in your hand. And he'll place a great responsibility upon your shoulder. He'll give you a key. And whatever you open will be open. Whatever you shut will be shut. Come on. There is something that's going to be upgraded in your life. We need that in our prayer life. We need that in our family life. We need that in opportunities that others are getting. Some of you are going to become multimillionaires because you'll know how to use the key of David. This is in the book of Revelation. It was in the book of Isaiah 22. Look at what Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who was holy and who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens, no one will shut, and whatever he shuts, no one can open. How nice to have that technology at our disposal. Yes, you and I have it. Stand with me. You and I have it this morning. Whatever door we will open, it shall be open. I don't care how big that opportunity is. Some of it is beyond your comprehension. But because the Word of God has said it, we believe it, and that settles it. Get ready to be serious with God. Get serious with God this morning. Get serious with God. This is a big God. This is a powerful God. He can put one down. He can raise another. He can close one door. He can open 10 doors. He can shut off your previous and He can open a complete new life for you. He can remove the thoughts that plague you negatively and keep you in a valley. No, He can take you out of that place. He can remove all forms of personal delusion where you feel, you see things, you hear things that are delusional and you make you feel, well, this is a reality. Delusional things cannot be real. Sometimes we think that we're in line with God because we can sing a song, we can play an instrument, we can drive to church, we can sit in an auditorium. We think that we are correct with God. That's a housetop mentality. You need to get to the mountaintop. The real place is to get to the mountaintop. God wants to meet you in the mountain. God will meet you in the mountaintop. And so everything else in your life will change when you focus. I need to get up there. Mount Zion is my destiny. In the name of the Lord. Father, this morning, we just pray, God, I tried my best, Lord, to share this, these thoughts, Lord, about how you're adjusting us for greater penetration, for greater, Lord, breakthrough, for greater influence in the earth. We refuse this morning as a church to be called the Valley of Vision. We refuse, Lord, to have that mentality that it's better to stay in the valley and hide in the valley than to be in the mountaintop. We know, Lord, there is a great effort, responsibility on us getting from the valley to the mountain. We pray today that this church will be a mountaintop church. Lord, Father, according to Micah chapter 2, Lord, we'll be the church on a mountaintop, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, the order will change, Lord. Upgrade each one of us, Lord, to see, Lord, vision, purpose will be in each heart, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus. We pray for that key of David, Lord, that you promised us in the book of Revelation. It is for the church of Philadelphia, a type of church that we want to be, Lord. There were only commendations for the church of Philadelphia, no rebukes of God. And I pray today, O Lord, Father, we choose to be like the church of Philadelphia. And in this church, Lord, you promised us the key of David, hallelujah. You said in the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 16, that in the last days you will erect the tabernacle of David, Lord. We want to be like that, part of that tabernacle of God. No, Lord, Father, elaborate worship patterns, but just simply, Lord, prostrate before our God, Yadaring God, Lord, Father. Prostrate before Almighty God, believing in Almighty God, standing vulnerable to God, and thank God today. Build every individual in this church to become a pillar, Lord, to become powerful, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Kashandalabasikatalabanda, Rikotobasakatalababanda. Yes, Lord, we ask for the key of David to be put in every hand, Lord. Every father in this place must have the key of David. The key of David enables us to do supernatural things. No more, Lord, we trust the natural. No more we trust, Lord, our environment. We trust you, God. We put our trust in you, Lord. Our environments failed us. Our communities failed us. Our past failed us. Lord, Father, we're looking for an accurate order to follow this morning. Father, touch us today. Touch us today in this